Good morning and good coffee, everybody. Hey, it's time for some morning coffee with Larry, and I'm glad that you were here joining with me today for a nice hot cup of something that makes your mouth happy and it tastes good. Well, today is Monday, the 13th of May. I had to stop and think, what month is this? It's May. Of 2024, and I'm glad that you're here joining with me. This is kind of an exciting episode for me. We are going to be continuing and wrapping up our five-part series from Harper Magazine from the 1930s on things that a man should be able to do, and kind of expanding it to people and thinking about with your children, and what are skills that you want to make sure that they know that gives them a well-rounded view. But also, today is episode 600, and it is hard to believe that I put out 600 episodes of Morning Coffee with Larry. So, and so with this next bunch of episodes, starting with 601. I'm going to be making some changes, not necessarily making others. I mean, don't worry, it's still kind of going to be the same, but exploring some different options with the software that is available now with my podcasting platform. So we'll see what takes place with it. And in the meantime, how many of you remembered or saw or were amazed with Friday night and the Aurora Borealis? We were just absolutely stunned with it. My wife and I, we were out in the fields, away from any lights whatsoever. And I think we got out there at about 9:30, stayed for about an hour just taking pictures. And you could see some lights with the naked eye. But when you took a time lapse, a 3-second time lapse, it was just amazing. And what got me was I could point my camera in any direction. I was mostly focusing on the north, but if I turned to the east, I saw. If I turned to the west, I saw the amazing colors. If I pointed it straight up, you could see colors, but you kind of needed the, pardon me, you kind of needed the foreground. Like silhouettes of trees and stuff, or clouds, to kind of make it a better photo. But what really surprised me was, instead of pointing to the north, I pointed to the south, and I still saw a lot of the auroras. So it was an amazing time. Real disappointed on Saturday night. We weren't being hit with the solar storm, you know, surge at that point. Some people in the middle of the night were taking pretty neat photos, but it was kind of hit and miss. Then last night, we never really saw anything. So, and it's supposed to be rain today, but we have another big storm coming in, and tonight, as far as a solar storm, I mean, we may have a thunderstorm too. But yeah, so if we don't have the clouds, definitely we'll try to check it out and see it. This is pretty. It's beautiful, and it is. It's an amazing thing. The wife and I, we would love to go to Alaska to see them. We've talked about it different times, but just haven't. And so this was a treat, just being able to go out in our fields and see it. So, well, tell you what, let's jump into our main topic for today, continuing on. And we're on point number 24. We've got about 10 more to go, and I'm going to kind of move through these quicker than what I did on the others. You know me, I like talking and explaining my thoughts on things, and we'll see where these go. So the next one is, higher than almost any other accomplishment on the list, dramatic pause, is knowing music. There is no reason why any young man who is not absolutely tone deaf should not learn how to play one musical instrument well enough for it to be a self-resource and a tolerable pleasure to others. Well, you know, I think I am a lover of music, and I am a believer in music, and you have an instrument with you everywhere you go, which is your voice. And I wish that there was more vocal training available in schools to help kids do more with their voice. Now, there's choir in basically every school, but I mean really vocal training where you can learn how to really do the proper inflections and better control over your voice. That I wish there was more of, because the voice is an incredible instrument that you carry with you throughout your life, and the more deliberate control, the better singing, the better speaking, the more confidence that you have. There's so many people that have beautiful voices, but they have such a sense of insecurity regarding it that when they sing, it's always at a whisper. And that's a shame, because there's a lot of beautiful voices that need to be heard. But what about other instruments? You know, I think back to my grandma on my mom's side, and she always played the harmonica. Well, she always played the French harp. That's what she called it. And she had several. Some were just the standard simple ones. Then she had some where it had two different keys, and the layout was in different keys, and you flipped it to the back to play the other key. So it was a two-sided one. Just amazing. And she played wonderfully. And I never did learn to play the harmonica, but she tried. She definitely tried teaching me. And she said the key is you have to use your tongue. You have to use your tongue to get the individual notes. And most people just make a general blowing on it and a sloppiness. But she played it like, you know, a piano. She did a beautiful job with it. Guitar, ukulele, surprisingly enough, has had a resurgence over the past 10 years. You see kids playing ukuleles. But, you know, having, you know, the ability to play an instrument is a wonderful, wonderful skill. And it's a wonderful pleasure to be able to do. Just if you're bored, you don't know what else to do, rather than simply doing mindless watching, binge watching of videos on your phone or on a TV, playing music, getting good at it, good enough that you can play for other people. And there's been different folks that I have had the pleasure to listen to where they just spontaneously start playing songs, and it's a wonderful gift, and it brings so much to any situation. Number 25, a civilized man should know how to read. The ability to read, or rather the habit of reading, is very rare, even among intelligent people, and has to be taught and kept up if it is not to become rusty. You know, we live in a society where we don't have illiteracy to the degree that we used to, But I like the second part he had to his first sentence on this. A civilized man should know how to read, the ability to read, or rather the habit of reading. The habit of reading. We have habits of passive entertainment. We don't have as much habit of reading broadly throughout our society. And I think it's a wonderful thing, and I agree that it's a wonderful skill that has to be practiced. Now, I know several people that are literal bookworms. They love to read. My son Aaron, my daughter Jessica, they are avid readers. They love to read. I've known, like I said, many people who, you know, they always have a book in their hand because they're always reading. And a lot of them never made the switch over to like ebooks. They like having the physical copy. And that's, for me, that's kind of the way I am. I don't do a lot of fictional reading. What I do enjoy reading is nonfiction or educational type reading. But being in a habit of it really, really helps. As I've said on some past podcasts, my wife and I, we are reading through the Bible this year. And we're using a Bible app. And what's nice when you're talking about that a long stretch of reading and you get a lot of the Old Testament names that are hard to pronounce, our app reads it for us, but I'm sitting there. My wife's sitting there. We're actually reading through as the app is reading it. And it's something we both enjoy very much. And we do every day as we're working through the Bible. So, yes, a lot of benefit. A lot of benefit with reading. You can go to the source material for different things. You can improve your knowledge, your perspective. You can enhance your wisdom by reading and learning different points of views on things. All right, let's continue on because we got a lot to do. He should have a knowledge of at least one foreign language, French or German, preferably both. German children can learn an amazing good brand of English without ever without ever crossing their borders. Why can't we? For one thing, we don't really want to, yet we should. An American who knows only English is blind in one eye. Well, I'm blind in one eye. I do only know English. I did not take a foreign language in school. The options that were available to me were French and Spanish, and going through high school, I was probably never going, unless I traveled to France, would never use French. We didn't have as many, Spanish speaking people as we do now. You can learn a language, but if you don't practice it, you're going to lose it. Frankly, I wish that Latin had been offered. I think there would be a lot of benefit, not that people speak Latin, but it helps you understand your language, especially if it's a Western language, much, much better. So I think more kids do take different languages and in school. And I guess, you know, there are ways of learning it outside of school. There's Babbel, there's Rosetta Stone, there's different ones, but in all honesty, I don't come around that many people where I need to know a second language, so I'm probably just going to be blind in one eye. Number 17, he should know to travel well, efficiently, without fuss or complaint. I'm not really sure what he's meaning in this, in knowing how to travel well, except with the fact that in the early 1930s, people didn't travel that far unless they were on a line for a train or near a city and had to travel into the city or travel between cities. You go back during the golden age of railroading, and people would travel a good bit. But you also had a lot of folks that stayed where they were. We don't have the feudal system here in the United States where people are, in essence, bound to the lands on which they were born. But a lot of people don't travel much. And I do love travel, and I do see the benefits of travel. I've been to the majority of states in the United States. I've been to a few foreign countries, just on crossing the border, really, in Canada. I haven't been to Mexico. I have been to Grand Cayman, which is a beautiful, at least when I went there, is a very beautiful island. It was not overly touristy, which is what I understand has happened to it. I've been to England, Scotland, Greece. If I had the means and didn't have the responsibilities, and if the world wasn't as crazy as it is now, I would love to travel more and more. So knowing how to travel, operate maps, not just your GPS on your phone, understand what's the best way to get to different places, whether it's car, plane, train, bus. Being efficient with travel is a good skill. Number 28, a young man should be able to express himself clearly before a crowd of strangers without shyness, muddle, or a pathetic resort to "so much has been said and said and well said," or "I did not expect to be called on." So what I'm talking about here is being able to speak publicly. And that is an important skill. And I believe every single person, without exception, should learn that skill and practice that skill. When I went to college, my first go-around from my undergrad, my minor was speech communications. My goal was to be a high school speech teacher as well as a high school psychology teacher. That didn't go beyond my student teaching. I did teach Lakeland College classes, taught for 11 years there. But I loved teaching public speaking during my student teaching. It is an important skill. People need to have confidence, whether it's being asked to give a blessing to a meal in a public setting or introducing a speaker somewhere. Being able to speak spontaneously is a very valuable skill. Next month, in Effingham, our local bee organization, the Crossroads Beekeepers, we are going to be hosting the summer meeting for the Illinois State Beekeepers Association. And I am pleased and proud that I'm going to be able to be the MC for the event. And really looking forward to doing that public speaking and kind of working the crowd, keeping everybody awake after lunch, that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's a good skill. And giving your kids opportunities to learn those skills, master those skills. Toastmasters is an organization that gives you the opportunity to practice those skills. But frankly, the best way is to just go out and do it. Let's see, where am I at on time? All right, still doing okay. Keep moving. 29, the British adult can get to his feet, propose a toast, introduce a stranger, voice a civic protest, heckle a windbag politician, and give utterance to an unembarrassed thought. Well, I think this number, I don't know why it's split out separate, it really fits in with the one above. Again, being able to spontaneously speak and speak well is important. The next, a man should command the elementary tool of written language and be able to put simple things on paper in clear words. This is so important, and it is just being lost and not taught effectively and not practiced with our younger generation. Or I'm going to say generations. The advent of text messaging just has destroyed written language. Continuous abbreviation, and you know, like LOL, laugh out loud, just in poor spelling, not even spelling out words, just doing the sounds. Now I see more people, maybe it's just my circle, that are not doing that kind of texting. I'm seeing more and more, full sentences. But I'm the kind of person, it takes me a little bit of time to do a text message because I am putting in proper punctuation. It's important, just like any tool, you got to keep practicing it and being able to do writing. And even if you don't have a need to in a job or in classes anymore, then practice writing in other ways, whether it's in a journal or whether it's doing a blog. It's so important to keep that skill going. Number 31, he should have a good workable understanding of the structure of business and investments and banks. He should have a good workable understanding of the structure of business, investments, and banks. So many people don't. And we need to understand that on, how they work. What are their limits? What are the risks? It used to be you had to pay attention to your checkbook because that was the primary record that you had until the end of the month when you got a bank statement and you used to get all your canceled checks back. People don't keep checkbooks anymore. They just do it all electronically on their phone, and it's just magically done. It's a very nice convenience, but are we really getting a clear understanding of how bank accounts work? And investments. I was blessed when I got out of college and I had my first job, that two men by the name of Dave Cruz and Ted Black gave a presentation on long-term investing, retirement savings, and it made me start thinking about that, and I've never stopped thinking about it, but I sure wasn't thinking about it beforehand. Understanding the financial world, something every man needs to do and every woman needs to do. Have that as an understanding. And we need to teach people that, especially our children. We need to help people understand that. Number 32, let every educated man as a necessary part of his education be thrown into the muddy stream of American industry and see what it is like to swim alone on daily wages. I think that it's very easy in today's society, and it may have been easy then, in certain circles, to where kids didn't have to work and weren't expected to until they, got their college degree or something like that. Well, I think it's valuable to have a job early on. I think that we have a very big emphasis a lot of times on sports or school extracurricular activities, and there's just not time for employment. But I believe that as soon as a person is able to, they need to start working, and not working, for mom and dad or grandpa or grandma or something like that, but actually doing work in a job where you're working for strangers, where you're working fast food or at a grocery store or at a gas station, or at a Walmart or something like that. It's good to have that experience. My first job, and I don't really call account. I don't count that much having a paper route in seventh grade. It was only for a matter of months, few months, that me and a friend, we split a route. But my first real job where I got regular paychecks was working at a place called Midstate in Effingham. And it was the million item store. They had, it was like a Walmart before Walmart. They had everything from hardware and lumber to groceries to jewelry to records. They had everything. And I worked there for a year as a bag boy. And I got promoted to working in the garden area, garden section over the summer. It was great. It taught me a lot. I made mistakes as a 15-year-old. I also love telling modern-day kids that I made $2.85 an hour. I don't think I ever got a raise. So, after that, I worked at McDonald's. And, that was throwing me in at a young age into responsibility of employment. And I think that's very valuable. The next is he should, before reaching 22, have done something because he wanted to, whether other people wanted him to do it or not. Well, it's not giving an example of what the writer is thinking about here. I think we could say that everybody, has always done something that they wanted, whether or not other people wanted them to or not. But I think this is something big. I think this is something bigger. And the idea is to exercise one's own mind and will for a greater accomplishment. For me, I have used examples of outdoor activities, especially in the Boy Scouts. But I've also done some other things that that I did before I was 22. You probably have to be an adult to do. I went to Greece with a dear friend for 2 weeks. It was an incredible trip. It taught me a lot. It was my first time leaving the country. And seeing the culture and the people and getting to, get around for 2 weeks in a culture that the vast majority of people didn't know English, and having to negotiate that, those kinds of activities, planning of trips or working towards some sort of goal accomplishment. It's an exercise of a thoughtful will. I think it's pretty valuable. Next, he should not acquire property unless he needs it. Insensitiveness to his personal property, unless, of course, it's extraordinarily beautiful, is a desirable skill for any man to have. It must be learned and worked at. When I think of property, I think of like real estate. But this, I don't think it's per se talking about that. He should not acquire property unless he needs it. I think this is a valuable thing, especially for our society. We have been blessed with low-priced things and over the past several decades. And what that has led to is incredible amounts of clutter. And I will be the first to raise my hand on the accumulation of clutter, of having things that are nice, but did I really need it? Did I want it or did I need it? And most of those things I didn't need. I wanted. And I had a means, and so I got. And all you have to do is, on the weekends, now that the weather's getting nice, go to different garage sales and see how much stuff people have in their homes that they want to get rid of. Why? Because it's excess clutter. I love Hobby Lobby as much as anybody else, but the decorations in there are not timeless. They are specific themes that go in and out of favor. You know, lighthouses, nautical themes. That's great, but it's not something you're going to have in your house forever. And so we have a tendency to get lots of stuff that we really don't want and we really don't need long term. And so here, talking about, you know, for a young man, and I would say a young woman, you should not acquire property unless you need it. Insensitiveness to his personal property, unless, of course, it is extraordinarily beautiful, is a desirable skill for any man to have. It must be learned and worked at. You know, there's things that we may acquire, this guy says, because it's beautiful, but we need to be sensitive to what we spend our money on. Why do so many people live hand to mouth? Have, you know, always, having to check their checking account balance because they don't know how much money they have in it because it's so little. How much are you spending on different things? And today's kids, they kind of have an expectation that they should have a lot of stuff because they get a lot of stuff for birthdays. They get a lot of stuff for Christmas, typically. Now, this may be changing with how our economy is right now, but being able to live more Spartan with less acquired things is probably a valuable skill. The last one, unusual though this young man may be, he should not seem so. Is not a parent's basic ambition for his child that he be very different from other people, yet manage to seem almost exactly like them? As I was reading over this earlier and trying to see what the author is really saying. Unusual though this young man may be, he should not seem so. Each person, each child is unique. And they're going to have unique interests. But are they able to fit in with everybody else? Doesn't mean they become just a drone and just, you know, go about the day and there's no differences. But is there value to being able to fit into society? I think there's a lot of value. We need to be unique, but we also need to be able to fit in so that we can benefit from that. It's a little bit like beekeeping. There's a lot of different ways that you can do beekeeping. But in the United States, there's a standardized way of beekeeping with your equipment. And that is the Langstroth hive. It is a beehive where you have 10 frames. The frames are all specifically standardized sizes. The boxes they fit into are standardized. And it follows best practices that have been developed over the past 150 years. So there's, you know, but with beekeeping, you can do a lot of variations. But if you want to, and you can make beekeeping equipment any size you want. I mean, it's not, you don't have to do the Langstroth method. But it sure is a whole lot easier when you're starting out because that standard method is what all your beekeeping catalogs have as far as the equipment. It's all based upon that. Well, your children have their unique traits, their unique abilities, the things that make them unusual in a good way. But we want our kids also to be able to fit in and not have to have, you know, once a unique fit for every situation. Being able to get along with others, being able to lead a team, being able to follow a leader, being able to get along well with others. You know, there's a saying, you know, among counselors, you know, we have, you know, we'll have to give somebody a diagnosis, but then sometimes as we're discussing a case, we may say, you know, does not play well with others, as if we were a school teacher. It's important to be able to play well with others. Well, that is the last item from this abbreviated list. If you want the article, go back to the very first episode on this series and you'll be able to pick it out. Oh, here it is. I've got it at the top of my scroll down list. What a Young Man Should Know, 1933, a checklist for becoming a proper man. It's from the March 1933 issue of Harper's Magazine. I hope this has been fun. I hope this has been helpful, giving you the opportunity to think about some of these things that just go by us and we don't notice. So anyway, that's it for today. Have a great day, and we will catch you next time with another cup of coffee. Take care. God bless.